takes advantage of it. Takes the handle. Hits to his right. Gets to the 20. He's at the 30. Needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline. Breaks a guard tackle. Comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown 49ers. 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurd breaking tackle after tackle. Sweeps down the sideline. Throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again. Goes to the 40, gets away again. To the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it. Post, and it's good.
Second down, Ryan takes the snap, throws the flat to the left side. It's Russell, it's intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman, his redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown! No greater redemption!
San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Click, click, boom! What's going on, faithfuls? It's your boy Mike from the Nothing But Niners crew, and guys, March Madness continues. We are officially on day 8. And it's time to get to these questions. So here we go. Danny Albright has the first one for the day.
Oh, boy.
Thought I was ready, man. Sorry. Do you think the Niners trade up in the 20s to get an O-line and would it cost a lot of picks? Yes. Probably cost 3 or 4 picks to get from 31 to 20. 21, 22, 23, 24. Maybe you can get away with just 2 picks if they're both high, if you want like 25. But I don't think we should. I don't think we should trade up not to get more. No. I think the Niners probably will trade up at some point, but I don't think the first round. I think they're gonna be very confident with someone that they like taking in the second with that 5th round option that they want to use as a weapon. So yeah. What do you think about Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul? Oh, my God. All right. What do I think about Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul? I'm very happy for Mike Tyson to be doing this. It's a good opportunity to make some quick money, some fast money. He's got to understand that this kid, Jake Paul, is going to be trying to send a message to the world. These midnight things are getting to me. Sorry, guys. That is so rude. He's got to understand that Jake Paul is going to want to try to take his head off with one shot, right? Like everything that I dreamed of as a kid. Everyone, you know, when Mike Tyson was still actively boxing, people would say, would you fight Mike Tyson for $1 million? Would you get in the ring with Mike Tyson for a minute for $1 million? And it's like, all right, kid, yeah, I would. And then it's like, well, would you let Mike Tyson hit you for $1 million? No, because I would get in the ring and dive. You know, or I would run for the whole minute. He's old and it's not good. As far as how I think about it for Mike Tyson, though, this would be a good way for him to make a lot of money very quickly. We remember when the Roy Jones, Mike Tyson thing happened and he made decent money on that. He'll make more money, probably double that, fighting Jake Paul because of the Jake Paul has captivated that YouTube audience, and they're still tuning in to see what he can do in the boxing ring. So, yeah, that'll be cool. Crow says, hi, Mike. Do we win the Super Bowl if McGlinchey starts at right tackle?
Bad idea. Yo, look.
The truth of the matter is, it wasn't the right tackle that missed that block on Chris Jones. It was Burford. So, no, we wouldn't. And plus, if Burford makes that block, there's no guarantee that we win then anyway. You know, the fact of the matter is a touchdown didn't end the game anymore with the new overtime rules. The Chiefs were bound to get the ball, and we saw what happened. They marched right down the field on the Niners defense. So, and they also said they were going to go for 2 to go for the win, so we have no idea how it was going to happen. DJ Malone, what's going on, man? Got to be food question time, right? He says here, how's everyone doing tonight? well, and I think the other people that are watching are doing well as well. Do you feel like everyone nowadays is way more shallow and sensitive? Yes and yes. More self-absorbed. I always heard this like little, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not an analogy or anything like that, but it was like this little like way to think about things. You're in your car listening to your music, on the phone arguing with whoever you're arguing about, talking to whatever bill collector, but you're on the road and you were surrounded by hundreds of other people who are going through their own ordeal inside their car and you have no idea what it is, right? And then when you get out, let's say you're heading to work, when you get out, then you can hear other people and that's when they start to count to you. I feel like today's world is missing the last part of it. Other people don't start to count to them. You have to kind of like ring bells to make people even look in a direction other than their own. They're singularly focused, and that singular focus is whatever is going on in their world. And yes, people are definitely more sensitive now. People have always been sensitive, let me be clear, but I just think it's more sensitive than what they used to be. As evidenced by laws being changed and words that you can't say anymore that you used to be able to say and things like that. So, yeah. Would you believe me if I told you I met the man who coached Jeff Garcia in the CFL and his backup? I would believe you. Are you in Canada, DJ? Are you in Canada? It's funny, I was talking about the CFL the other day. There used to be this old Madden game, I think it was Madden, on Sega, and just you press different button combinations and certain teams would pop up. And Frankfurt something or other was one of them. Rain Fire was another team. And I couldn't remember. Now I got to see, where is Rain Fire? Is that the CFL team? R-H-E-I-N. That's an EFO. It's European. Those were European football teams. Yeah, that's what it was. So I was talking about. That's right. I knew that because that's where Tom Sula went and won a championship. That's right. So it was interesting that you could get like old classic teams from the 80s and all that stuff, and then boom, they would appear on the game. But you could also get these European teams. And so my buddy was like, "Do you know if Canadian football teams were on there in the codes as well?" And I said, I don't know. And I couldn't think of any Canadian teams other than Calgary. And I don't even know what the like animal is or the mascot is. I could only think of Calgary. And I realized I don't watch any CFL. I think this year I'm going to try to get into it, man. I am. Your opinion on Red Velvet hot cake. Hot chocolate. Okay, this has to be a drink, and I'm already disgusted. It sounds extremely sweet and thick. Pause. And so that is not a combination of anything that I would like. So, no. I'm going to have to Google this now. Red Velvet Hot Cake. It sounds like a drink. I've never had it, so I don't know. Red Velvet Hot Chocolate. Oh, hot chocolate. Oh, it's not like an alcoholic thing. See, I assume that this would have been a alcoholic, like pre-mixed type of thing. Okay, like just, all right. I'm not a hot chocolate person, but I would try this. I would try this. I've had hot chocolate before. It's not my go-to. I prefer a cold glass of Nestle Quick, the powder, where I can just scoop the sugar off the bottom and eat it on a spoon, right? But I would try that. I would try that. The creator of Dragon Ball Z passed away today. Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Wow, I did not know that. Rest in peace. Can you also name the CFL team that Jeff Garcia played for before we signed him? Gun to my head, I would have to say Calgary. And again, I don't even know another team to try to say. Toronto Maple Leafs. That's not even the same sport. Yeah, I would just have to say Calgary, and I would have no idea if I was right. I don't know any other team to say. Mark says here, OG Big Mike, got to say you were right to question Kilcerek as a D-line genius. What made you start having doubts about him? It was honestly, it was just what made me start having doubts about him. It was looking at all the resources that we had thrown his way at the conclusion of this season, midway through the season, honestly, after the trade deadline, I'm like, yo, they are going out there and getting guys. I was really excited about the Chase Young acquisition, and I still want him to come back. But I feel like we should have gotten more production from that group. Randy Gregory, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Javon King. You were going out there and you're getting the names of all names for one position group, and that might be the top priority in the draft. And that's when reality started to set in. You know, I think back to how dominant a defensive line Isaac Sopawaga, Justin Smith, and whomever else, right? And then you think about Ian Williams, right? But just how dominant a three-man front was with Ahmad Brooks on one side or Alden Smith on the other side. And it's like, dude, like that was a dominant defensive line for like three straight seasons. And we haven't sniffed that kind of dominance. We were good against the run and a nightmare, a terror against the pass. We didn't always lead the league in sacks, but damn, the pressure was real. You snap that ball, you're running for your life. You are running for your life. And I've never once felt that way about this defensive line. And we should have felt that way about this defensive line this year. This was the year to feel that way about this defensive line. I didn't feel that way about this defensive line when we had a healthy D Ford. I didn't. And if you're not going to feel that way about a defensive line that has the talent name that I named for the Niners this year, you're not going to. So what's the magic behind Chris Kocurek? I don't know. I think other guys can do a lot more with what he's been given. That's all. Had Greenlaw not gotten injured, would you have considered a change to a 3-4 defense? With or without the injury, there's other players waiting in the wings, you know, and Greenlaw was a major loss, but when you have an entire season to prepare and all that stuff, Greenlaw's not going to stop you from, or the absence of Greenlaw, is not going to stop you from converting your offensive scheme. I don't think it matters too much anymore. I went and watched some of the Charger stuff when we signed Staley, and they had four-man fronts a lot of the time, especially on passing downs. So it didn't really make a difference. Sometimes five or six man front. Now they use those linebackers to come in and fill in, right? But it doesn't really make a difference. So I did consider that the Niners might mix some of those looks in this year when Staley came. So we'll see what happens, though. We'll see. Would you like Jamal Adams on the 49ers as a linebacker? No. No and no and no. Y'all, I am very anti-former Seahawks being a part of this team. I have to get over it. I have to get out my own head. But the whole Russell Wilson conversation we had, while I know that he would improve the quarterback room, I want to throw up in my mouth. The coaches that are coming over, Richard Sherman came up. There's a part of me that is dying every time it happens. How much faith do you have in the young linebackers, Graham and Winters, being the next man up next season? A lot, actually. There's something about the way this linebacking room is coached. And DFF didn't have a terrible run when we called his number in the Super Bowl. He wasn't that infectious energy that Greenlaw was. Greenlaw was a man possessed out there. He was going to make everyone remember his name that game. But they were, but DFF was serviceable. And I think Winters and Graham will be the same way. You know, Johnny Holland's going to do a good job with those guys. Now they got the younger guy coming in and KJ Wright. We'll be okay. All right. If we can't sign Aziz, would you like Quan Alexander to come back? No, I wouldn't. I am one of those people who I'm kind of like anti school. I just said it about the Seahawks. It's going to sound crazy. I'm kind of becoming like an anti former 49er guy. Like trying to relive those days. Quan will serve a purpose and he will teach those guys to play with a fire and a vigor. And I thank him for forming and molding Fred Warner into who he is. I don't know. I wouldn't be totally against it. I'm convincing myself the more I think about it, I wouldn't be totally against it, but I think Aziz would give you far more production and stay available longer than Quan Alexander would. How different is the draft going to look like this season without Adam Peters in the building? You know, to be completely honest with you, Mark, we can all pretend that we knew what he did and who he was responsible for and all that stuff, and we can say it with the confidence and conviction that we don't know what he actually did. We don't. This draft is going to feel like every other 49ers draft. Can't wait to see who we get on the edge of our seat, the time of our pick, and when we see the Niners are now on the clock when they weren't supposed to be, we're going to get just as excited. It's going to be defensive linemen are coming in the first two or three picks. You hope an offensive lineman. You shouldn't expect corners early because the Niners just don't typically do that. I expect it to feel the same. So this team has gotten success with undrafted corners, right? So why would they change their formula there? You know, with Mooney Ward, I know we got him in free agency, but where was he drafted, right? Emmanuel Moseley was here and playing well, right? Where was he drafted? This team has a formula for certain positions, and I think they stick to it. All right. Hopefully there's more excitement because of the unknown without Adam Peter here. This will be my last one. Hey, Mike, do you still talk to Nick? Every once in a while, I'll shoot him a text and just wish him well, but we don't have many conversations anymore. And whatever happened to him, Nick just stopped doing shows. He stopped doing shows. Everyone loved him on this show with you. Yeah, I did too. We had a great chemistry. We had good energy with each other. Things started changing a little bit towards the end, but, you know, it is what it is, and it was what it was. Still got love for the guy, and I sincerely hope he's doing well, him and his family. So, yeah. But that's going to do it for today's episode, man. Thank you guys so much for watching and tuning in. Keep those questions coming. If I didn't get to your questions, don't, think I was being disrespectful. It's just the rules of the game. I do this for 15 minutes, and our time is up. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Get into the chats early. Type those questions. I'll get to them. All right. Peace.
We all gas, no brakes, pumped up, no fakes. We spinning, we winning, we high stakes. We never miss, we all makes. Look at us dudes trying to prove, bringing you news with nothing to lose. Mike, Nick, Tony, Wayne, Method Man, we bring the pain. Hey, see, I'ma confess it. We under the pressure. If you looking to find us, we them nothing but nine.